Filled the square as 70 people of all races and ages gathered in New Philadelphia in support of Anthony Harris.
Definitely, this trial would have been page one news, top story. This one in particular, because it involves a 5-year-old victim and a 12-year-old defendant, made it even more so.
It was unlike any other trial I covered. It was a Shakespearean tragedy that was playing out. Trying to return the throw on a
Pretty good, you?
public defender. His name was Taryn Hale.
Yes,
The hearing.
thank you.
So we had filed a motion to suppress the interrogation.
Without that confession, I
Yes.
don't think that they would have.
The confession is a very important piece of
How's
evidence.
your trip?
In this particular case, it was really probably the strongest piece of apparent evidence that they had.
All right.
Wanted to ensure that every aspect of that confession was considered. He was alone, did he get an attorney, did he get Miranda rights, what words,
Good morning. My name is Pastor Jacob Nault. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we're so excited to have you all with us this morning. If you are new here, and if you would like to find out more about our church or find out ways you can get involved, that QR code right on your screen will lead you to a form that you can fill out and let us know you're here, and meet with me if you'd like more information about the church and so on. Other announcements, I will be out of the office tomorrow morning, spending time with my family that's in town. And I think that's all the announcements I have. A confirmation. Becky, do we have an announcement?
We do not have one today.
Okay, we don't. All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
Bought one. The labels are on them, so thank you.
Okay. All right. Then we will start our worship with a choral introit.
For the call to worship. On Friday, we thought the good news had been silenced.
On Friday,
we thought the good news had taken its last breath. On Friday, we thought the good news had been buried.
But today, we know
the good news is alive and well. The good news is dancing. The good news is out in the world, calling your name.
Hallelujah. Even death has lost its sting. Let us worship our good news, Christ.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy One,
all over the world,
people are gathering to hear the same story. All over the world, people are gathering to hear how death lost its sting. All over the world, people are gathering together, praying for a glimpse of you. So like our neighbors all over the world, we pray, be here. Speak to us today. Soften the calloused parts of our hearts until we can sense your Holy Spirit in our midst once more. With eagerness and hope, we run to the tomb. We sing Alleluia. We bow our heads. We listen for you. Amen. The opening hymn is number 288, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Be seated.
We have the children with us today. Sit on the top step.
Yeah, let's sit on the top step.
Oh my God. Ray, you can come up. You want to join us?
Good morning, everybody.
That's okay. Markers can take a break. All right. How are you guys today? Turn this on. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah.
That's a little subdued. Let's try that again. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Good job.
Oh well.
That's better. So my theme for today is Jesus has risen. All right, and so I have to ask you a couple questions. When someone dies, what do we usually do with their body? Anybody know? Say it again.
We bury it.
Yeah, we bury it. We put it in the cemetery. We mark it with a nice headstone with their name on it, and we remember and worship them, right? Yes. In Jesus' time, they didn't always bury them. Do you know where they put them sometimes, anybody?
In a tomb.
Yep.
Something. Those tombs looked like caves, didn't they? Yeah. And how did they close the caves up? Anybody know? You know how?
Large stick.
Large sticks and?
Large
rocks.
Large boulders, rocks. Excellent.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. They used usually a large stone or a big giant boulder. And a couple days after Jesus died, these two ladies, they were both named Mary. You believe that? Both their names were Mary. They went to worship Jesus at his tomb. Does anybody know what they found when they got to his tomb? What was different about the tomb?
The tomb was empty.
The tomb was empty. The stone was rolled back, and the tomb was empty. Yes. They found it empty. Does anyone know what happened to Jesus?
He came back alive.
Yes. He rose from the dead. That's an excellent answer. He came back alive, and he came down and he talked to the two ladies. He said, don't be afraid. He said, just like I said, I have risen. And he told them to tell the good news to all the disciples that Jesus had risen. So my question for you today is, why do we have Easter eggs and egg hunts? By the way, there's an egg hunt for all the kids in the church today, right after the service, in the education wing, and there might even be some in the fireside room.
Okay.
So that's a little bit. So I'm going to come back to my question. Anybody know what the Easter eggs represent? Anybody have any idea? No? Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, how do the Easter eggs tie into this whole thing, right? Well, the breaking open of the eggs is the symbol of the stone being rolled back from the tomb. So when we break open an egg, we open it just like the stone rolling back and opening the tomb. So when you go on the Easter egg hunt today, and any eggs that you have open, so every time you open an egg, each time I want you to say, Jesus has risen, hallelujah. Say that with me.
Jesus has risen, hallelujah.
So every time you open an egg today, we're going to remember, Jesus has risen, hallelujah. Pastor Jacob, would you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. I will say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For rising again.
For rising again.
Because you love us.
Because you love us.
Help us.
Help us.
Share the good news.
Share the good news.
With everyone we meet.
With everyone we meet.
And wherever we go.
And wherever we go.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, this time you have to go back to your moms and dads, okay?
Friends, on Easter Sunday, we remember that the world did its worst to God. The world battered and bruised, betrayed and abandoned, crucified and buried our living God. And despite it all, Jesus chose to return. Jesus rose again and immediately went to work spreading God's love to the very people who had hurt him. So hear me when I say there is nothing you can do that could keep God's love at bay. With that good news in mind, let us go to God in prayer, trusting that Jesus Christ loves, claims, and seeks us. Friends, let us pray. Gracious God, we want to be Easter people. We want to shout your good news from the rooftop. We want to follow the disciples who ran to look for you. We want to follow the angels who said, "Be not afraid." But we are afraid, and we don't know where to look. We are worried we'll say the wrong thing, so forgive us, for we are imperfect Easter people. We are best intentions and best laid plans. We are an out-of-tune chorus of alleluias. We are on our way, but we are not there yet. Show us how to embody your good news in this world. Show us how to be your Easter people. With hope for tomorrow, we pray. Family of faith, even when we are an out-of-tune chorus of alleluias, we belong to God. Jesus died and rose for you, and there is nothing that could keep God's love at bay. So join me in this good news declaration. Through Jesus Christ, we are seen, saved, loved, and claimed. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen. Scripture today is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jane. My friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So almost every week, I talk to a colleague of mine named Chris Davis at a church in Beaver Dam about what we're going to preach on the following Sunday to give each other some ideas and a space to kind of workshop things out. He's been a pastor for over 20 years, and I've been a pastor for about 3.5, so we have different philosophies and different ways of doing things that each of us find beneficial to the other. So this week, Chris started our conversation by saying, "Jacob, you're a young pastor." And I thought, oh boy. He goes, "I've been in ministry long enough that sometimes all this extra work for pastors during this time of year feels like going through the motions. Why do we do this to ourselves?" I was surprised by this, and I think I probably said something like, "Well, I think it's because Jesus rises again, no matter what is going on in the world." He says to me, "Well, that's bull crap." All joking aside, it actually made sense to me that people might be cynical of the typical Easter message to some degree, even if they're a pastor. There are so many problems going on in our country and in the world that a happy, clappy Easter sermon might feel like it just doesn't meet the moment. Because the truth is, Jesus lived and died and rose again directly in opposition to the Roman Empire and what those leaders represented. For the Easter story to mean anything, for the Easter story to have grit, we have to contend with the problems the world faces. For the Easter story to be worth going back to year after year, we have to understand at our core why it matters. Why it's worth recounting over and over again. And that's what this Lent has been about. Learning to find the good news in a complicated world. In our worship series here at the church, we've studied what was central to Jesus' life and ministry: radical welcome, love for neighbor, care for the vulnerable, nourishment for the hungry, nonviolence in the face of justice, in the face of injustice, sorry. And at the heart of Jesus' teachings, we find love and liberation and grace, all of which are meant to be very good news for us all, no matter what the world brings us. And of course, that leads us to today, the resurrection, the good news alive in the world. For many people, the resurrection is what makes their entire faith make sense. We all love a good, happy ending, and things like living in fear of the empire and the finality of death aren't great evangelism tools. But that doesn't mean that it's just that simple or without any complications. The writers of the commentary that goes along with our worship series are quick to point out that Jesus is here and he's alive, and that's wonderful. But so are all the people who killed him. All the people who killed him were also here. The people who scorned Jesus and told him to save himself are here too. The soldiers who mocked him with vinegar, taunting him to call down Elijah, were here too. Pontius Pilate still reigned. Herod still terrorized his people. And meanwhile, we live among people in their same lines who sometimes want to make our existence full of fear. That might be what makes the two Marys fearful in this rendering of the Easter story. Well, that and the earthquake. These two Marys, one of them his mother and the other his most devoted female disciple, had just watched him die an unusually violent sort of death at the hands of the state. So we can only imagine the range of emotions that they might feel. That's why the angel of God says to the two Marys, "See for yourselves. Look, he's not here. Don't be afraid. And now go tell the others." Our commentator reminds us that the phrase, "do not be afraid," is one of the most repeated commands in all of Scripture. And we hear it twice in these 10 verses alone. But I don't blame the two Marys for having at least a little bit of fear as they excitedly went to tell the others. I think if it happened to me, I would probably wonder what the heck had just happened, and I'd probably be pretty scared myself. And there have been so many reasons to fear in these days of between Thursday and Sunday. But here's the truth. The Easter story reminds us that fear and empire can't kill hope. While many of the same forces that nailed Jesus to the cross are still with us today, greedy world leaders, systemic inequality, the marginalized not getting a fair shake, Jesus still rises and reminds us that his message still matters. What he worked for, what he fought for, what he bled and died for still matters even now, especially. My friend Pastor Chris was probably joking around, as he often does. He has a pretty twisted sense of humor sometimes. But his question reminded me, and can remind us all, why this still matters. Now, our congregation is doing pretty well at figuring some of this stuff out. One of the most recent initiatives that this congregation undertook was helping people burdened by the rising costs of food and working with our local food pantry in a very specific way. This congregation donated meat and meal preparation time and crock pots so that families could have balanced easy to prepare and filling meals in this time of crisis. Just as Jesus' ministry was all about feeding people who were hungry, that's become something that we've wanted to be part of in this community as well. And our confirmation students have also been learning about local organizations like Reach that are helping people their ages and younger. Our confirmands are in middle school, who are in need of community and belonging. And several people in our congregation actually mentor kids that are supported by Reach. And I'm not saying any of this to puff us up and make us look good, there are still real inequalities and real problems in the world that we haven't been able to address yet. But that's what Easter often means, resurrection in spite of it all. Jesus rising from the dead does not magically make all the problems in the lives of the early Christians go away. Jesus rising from the dead doesn't make all the problems in our lives go away. In fact, in a way, it might have amplified some of the problems that the early Christians were facing. But today, we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior because it gives us solid reasons to keep our faith. Reasons for hope while the world still rages against one another. Reasons for meaningful conversations and connections when our divisions threaten our relationships. Reasons for laughter and joy in the midst of pain. Jesus is alive today, friends. May you go from this place and make that good news mean something, so it never feels like going through the motions. Instead, may it help us deepen our faith and share that truly good news with a world in need. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Here at this church, typically we share times of joys and concerns. We'll begin by taking a few moments of silent prayer, and then we'll go around and talk and share joys and concerns with our community. And after every intercession, I will say, God, in your mercy, and I invite you to respond, receive our prayer. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. So let's begin with a few moments of silence. Amen. I've got a couple of prayers that are on that I'm aware of this morning. We wanted to share with you that Mike Hammer is now at home in hospice care with pancreatic cancer. So we pray for Mike and his wife Deb and all who love Mike, that he might go gracefully into his journey from life to life. For Mike and for Deb, God in your mercy. And I also my family is also grieving as my great aunt, my dad's aunt Seal, passed away yesterday from congestive heart failure. So for all who loved Seal, as we remember her, God in your mercy. Are there others? Chris is coming with a microphone. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I have a joy to share. My mom, Lois Berceau, will be 92 on Wednesday.
For Lois and for Becky and all the joy and wonder that Lois brings to the world. And for another trip around the sun for you, Lois. God, in your mercy. Anything else? I'm not seeing anything here. Anything on Zoom? Nope? Okay. Then let us be together in prayer. God of the resurrection, we give you thanks that there are reasons for hope even in these times, even now, when people right in our backyards don't have enough to eat, don't have a safe home, don't have enough money at the end of the month or at the beginning of the month. People who are discriminated against for things they can't control. We give you thanks that it was for all of these people that Jesus lived and fought and bled and died for. He always lived and worked for the lost, the least, the marginalized, and the oppressed. And we pray today that you would help us do the same. We also pray for all of those whose names have been shared and for those whose names are written in our hearts. We pray especially for Mike and Deb and Seal's family, and for Lois and for Becky, and for all of their family as they celebrate Lois. We pray this in the name of your Son Jesus, who rose again for our benefit. We now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. You can use either the translation that's on the screen, or if you have another translation that speaks to you, you can use that as well. And if you use trespasses, the rest of us will wait for you. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to make an offering this morning, you can do so as the ushers come around by placing a gift in the offering plate. You may also give online at ucc.wapan.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift benefits not only this local church, but also the church universal. Thank you. rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy love, receive these gifts as seeds given in thanksgiving for your generosity. Let us rejoice in giving, just as the sun dances in its power. Help us to nourish these offerings to meet the needs of our community and to witness to your goodness. We dedicate them to the flourishing of your kingdom. Amen. You may be seated. Now comes the time where we share Holy Communion, as it is the first Sunday of the month. And I want to let anybody know who is a visitor to our church that we believe here at this church that this table does not belong to us. It does not belong to the United Church of Christ. It does not belong to this local church, but instead it belongs to Jesus, who is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether we are a member of this church or this denomination or not. So if you would like to receive communion this morning, regardless of your denomination, even if you've never received communion before, you are welcome at this table. On Easter morning, the women went looking for Jesus. The angel said that he was not in the tomb, so they ran, afraid and yet filled with joy. They sought after him. They hurried to Galilee, looking for their risen Christ. And in their seeking, the text tells us that suddenly Jesus met them. Jesus met the women in their seeking. He met them in their moment of fear and grief, when they felt lost, and provided hope. Friends, if like the women, you are seeking Christ, if you have known grief or fear, if you have ever felt lost or in need of some hope, then come to this table. All are welcome here. For just as Jesus met the women in their seeking, I am confident that Jesus meets us here, saying, "Do not be afraid." Let us pray. Risen Christ, good news God and ever-present Spirit, today is a day we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the holy mystery of this morning, for the good news of an empty grave, for the sound of hallelujahs. Today is a day we've been waiting for, and now that we're here, all we can say is thank you. Thank you for showing the world what could be. Thank you for loving us with abandon. Thank you for facing death and returning with mercy. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the morning bird song. And thank you for meeting us here as you always do. Today, we celebrate the good news that you are alive in the world. The grave couldn't hold you. Death couldn't keep you. The empire couldn't confine you. Instead, you are here and everywhere. You are risen. You are on the move in this world. Your love meets us at this table and calls us. And that's good, good news. So on this Easter Sunday, this holiest of days, we ask for your help, noticing you in our midst. When we break bread with our neighbors, may we feel you. When a stranger acts with kindness and love, may we recognize you. We know that you are out here in this world, God, and we don't want to miss a minute of it. We remember this day the love that Jesus shared with his friends. On the night that he was betrayed, he broke bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, my love broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And after they were finished eating, he took a cup of wine and he poured it out and he said, "Take and drink this, all of you. Remember that this is my blood, my love poured out for you, the new covenant given for all for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." So, if you've never taken communion with us before, I want to let you know that all of the cups contain grape juice, so that it's safe for everybody to drink. There are larger plates with gluten bread. The plate in the middle is gluten-free bread for those who have gluten sensitivities. If you would like to receive communion, I invite you to enter by way of the center aisle, receive a piece of bread and eat it, and take a cup and drink it, and return to your seats by way of the side aisle. And if you are not able to come forward for communion, someone will be happy to come to you so that you can receive it. Friends, the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready.
This we know is your body.
Please join me in the prayer after communion. Loving Christ, thank you for the bread that nourishes our bodies. Thank you for the cup that quenches our thirst. Thank you for this community, which reminds us who we are. Thank you for this table that brings us together. Thank you for the music that lifts our spirits. Thank you for the promise that at this table and that at table, you will be there. May this holy meal nourish us to go out into the world speaking of your good, good news. The joy and hope, we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 312. This is Christ is Alive, and we'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 5. Before I give the benediction, I want to invite anyone who's here with us today to join us for coffee and treats supplied by our diaconate committee. All are welcome. Now, my friends, receive these words of benediction. My friends, even if you fear, even if you tremble, may you tell the good news to anyone who needs to hear it, that Christ is alive again. Christ is alive for all of us. Christ is alive for our benefit and invites us to share in Christ's mission of love for the world. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and happy Easter!